I'm so moved by what has already happened in this worship service. Thank you, Mike, for such a powerful reading to bring us to this message of Easter and to this victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. I appreciate all of those in our worship ministry that are here in a good number. Thank you for being here to bring this Easter message alive and to create in this space of worship just a sense of victory. And that's what we're here to join in today. I want to share with you a progress report. 2 weeks ago, I shared that in the Final Four, that Auburn had come so close to winning against the University of Virginia. And by Easter, I was going to be over it. I just want to give you a progress report. I didn't say which Easter. I think I'm on course for 2020. That's looking pretty good. But I actually wanted to lift up that game, as painful as it was for me to see the last 6.5 seconds. That a lot can happen in 6.5 seconds. Virginia came back from being down 4 points, scored 6 points in 6.5 seconds. Unbelievable that time could be used that well with the game on the line. I'm even more amazed how valuable our time is and how seconds matter in our life as a Christian, in our life as a disciple, that God can do extraordinary things in such a short amount of time. And I pray that will be possible even today as we gather for worship on this Easter Sunday, that the minutes that we're here in worship are going to have a lifetime of impact upon us. And if there are any here who are searching, that you will find. If there are any of you that are fighting belief and unbelief, I am reminded of that passage from the Gospel of Mark that we've studied over the last 40 days. The father that wanted his son healed, that proclaimed, "I believe, help my unbelief." I pray if there's any that are teetering between belief and unbelief today, that you will know that joy of believing in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. I pray if there's any in any pain, whether it's physical pain or emotional pain, I pray that you will find a healing balm in this Easter message today, this message of hope. We are so glad that you're here. If you're a guest or you're a visitor, we are grateful that you have chosen to spend your Easter Sunday here at Shalimar United Methodist Church. And I wanted to mention that I am so proud of this congregation, that we have devoted disciples that have chosen to spend their Easter Sunday by going to Lynn Haven and serving lunch for the Lynn Haven United Methodist Church in Panama City. Some of the faithful worshipers from 8 o'clock service and throughout the morning, they decided they would rather serve on Easter Sunday than be in worship. And of course, next Sunday, we are going to do that as a church. We are, in the words of someone else, we are going to leave the building. We know the church's people, and we're going to leave the building next Sunday. We are going to have one worship service at 9 a.m. here in the sanctuary, and then we're going to go and make an impact on our community. We invite you to come and be a part of that next week. Let me share with you some words about this text today. And by the way, I've preached about 37 Easter sermons, according to my records and recollection. And this week's was one of the hardest sermons I've ever prepared in my life. Monday, no sermon. Tuesday, no sermon. Wednesday, sweat, no sermon. Thursday, a little bit of insight. Breakthrough, Thursday afternoon. I decided to do what is always most productive, is to go to the very scripture itself and just share the scripture of this resurrection account. And I want to share with you my perceptions of what was happening on this day when two Marys and Shalom went to the tomb of Jesus. They started their day early, these three women. They must have been devastated. They had witnessed the crucifixion of their Lord. They must have found it difficult the next day, and particularly this day, but because it was the Sabbath, they were not able to go the next day following the crucifixion and anoint the body of our Lord. They had to wait past the Sabbath. And it was there in their waiting. They must have just worried, and they must have fretted, and they must have dreaded, and they must have feared the worst. And as they took on all of these terrible emotions of all that they had witnessed. But yet, let's begin with this first sign of hope. They awakened. They would wake up on this day. And the scripture says, before sunrise, they would wake up. And for many of us, that's where it begins for us, waking up. Over the past 46 days, several in this congregation have participated in an early morning Bible study, and we have awakened at an incredible hour for 40 plus days. I'm not particularly an early riser, but I was awake every morning at 4, getting ready for the 6 a.m. Bible study. Waking up it takes effort, doesn't it? Are you awake? It takes effort. But that's the beginning of this story. They awakened. As devastated as they were of all that had happened, they got out of bed. They decided to meet the new day. And they awakened to the day. They awakened physically, and I believe they began waking spiritually. The scripture teaches us, the Apostle Paul, "Wake up, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine on you." Wake up, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I believe this hope of this Easter message is there for us if we will wake up and receive it. Now, these women, too, it was more than just waking up. They had to show up. And so they began their journey to the tomb of Jesus. How difficult this must have been to prepare themselves for anointing the body of a dead man who had been in the grave now for over a day. They must have really dreaded this task. What would motivate them to do such a thing? They could have easily slept in. They could have easily just avoided this. They could have allowed their devastation to get the best of them. But no, they started their journey toward the tomb. And they knew it was going to be difficult, but yet they started that journey toward the tomb one step at a time. And you know, that is sometimes the most difficult movement, is that first step. when we're devastated by something, but we know that the answer is not just in remaining in our devastation, but it's taking that first step out of our devastation and trusting that step. And once movement begins, we start another step, momentum. And they started that step as hard as this walk was. And they identified a problem. The problem that they identified was that this large stone in which Jesus was in this tomb was so heavy. How was this large stone going to be moved? But yet, to the credit of these three women, two Marys, Mary, the mother of James, Mary Magdalene, whom Jesus had cast out demons earlier, and Salome, that they continued their path, knowing they didn't have an answer to this perplexing problem. Who will roll this large stone away? How will we even anoint the body of Jesus? They did not let this problem stop them. We learn something from this teaching. Some of us may be facing problems, and we don't have a clue as to how they're going to be resolved. But it takes our faith to move that next step, knowing that God is there. And so the real challenge for us is to show up. To show up. And if we will show up, then we give God an opportunity to do what God is able to do. Ephesians 3:20, most of you know I love this passage. That God is able to do immeasurably more than we think or imagine. And our showing up is required for this verse to be lived out. And that's what these three women did. They showed up. They did not know how the stone was going to be rolled away, but they trusted as they showed up. God could do the rest. Are any of you facing something that seems insurmountable today? Are any of you facing something perplexing that you don't have an answer for? God will bless you as you take that step, trusting Him to just show up and allow Him to show up as to how He can work amazing things. These women must have been thinking along the way, in all of their doubt, in all of their devastation, they must have also thought about the teachings of the Master that said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed. They must have thought about this teaching of, you are not far from the kingdom of God, the kingdom is near. They must have had these thoughts in their head. Could it be a possibility? We'll just keep moving toward the tomb. And so when they did show up, something wonderful happened. They looked up. They waked up. They showed up. And they looked up. And the stone was already rolled away. God had already acted. They only needed to show up and look up to see that God was already working in the miracle, and it was a miracle, of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, this massive stone was rolled away, and an angel spoke to them and said, you look for Jesus the Nazarene, but he's not here. He is not here. He is risen. See the place where he is laid. They looked up and they encountered the power of God. For some of us today, this is the message. We got out of bed. We have awakened, and we have showed up. And I would invite us to take that next step, to look up, look to God, that is able to do immeasurably more than we think or imagine, who is able to bring in the face of death resurrection to look up. Now, this past week was a tragic week in Paris. We looked up and we saw the burning of the Notre Dame Cathedral, an 800-year-old structure, up in flames. Many people from the world watched as this sacred building was consumed, apparently in flames. But you know, when tragedy comes, often it brings out the best in people, even secular people. And so within a day, millions of dollars began being pledged for the rebuilding of the Notre Dame Cathedral. Good things began happening as people looked up and they began seeing this icon burn before their eyes. I would invite us today, if we're in the face of tragedy or if we're in the face of adversity, if we're in the face of doubt, to look up. God's at work. Look up. Join in with the Lord as you look up. These women were amazed that the stone had been rolled away. And that leads to one final point. Rise up. They saw that Jesus had risen. And they heard from the angel these seven words that have changed history. He is not here, he has risen. He is not here, he is risen. And friends, this is the best news of all. That your life, old, middle-aged, young, God can raise you up through this resurrection faith. He can take your life when it feels like it's over, and he can give you new purpose again. He can take you even when you're old and you think there's nothing left to do, and he can give you something new that will bring joy in your life again. He can raise you up. This resurrection is not just a story that happened long ago that we recount once a year. It's a story that can happen in our lives today as the power of Jesus Christ comes and lives in us. William Barclay says about this text, he says, first of all, this Jesus that we've come to worship today, he's just not a storybook figure. Jesus is real. Jesus' presence is as real today as his presence was in the resurrected form at the tomb. Jesus is not just a storybook name. Barclay also says about Jesus that he's not just a memory. He's not just a memory. He's just not someone that we remember here and there. He's a living presence in our midst today. He is in this sanctuary now. As we profess with our lips our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, his presence is with us. He's not a storybook figure. He's not a memory. He is with us. And Jesus is not just someone we come to know about. And many of us know who Jesus is. We know about him. But Jesus is one that we come to know. We come to know him, not just know about him. So an invitation for all of us today, not just to know about this Jesus. He's more than a storybook figure. He's more than a memory. He's more than someone we just know about. He is someone we can know in our everyday life. We can know him as our Lord and as our Savior. He forgives our sins. And pay attention to an important word in this text today. You can miss it. But Jesus said, go and tell the disciples and Peter. Peter singled out by name. Why did Jesus do that? Jesus singled Peter out because he had denied him three times. And Jesus especially wanted Peter to come and to receive this forgiveness that we would read about in the book of John. Peter, do you love me? He said three times. And three times Peter said, I do. He was reinstated. He was forgiven. And that good word, that good news is for all of us. So Jesus is more than a historical name, more than a memory, more than someone to know about. He is someone to know. And here is the final point Barclay makes about Jesus, is that he doesn't stay still. He doesn't stay still. One child was asked one time, where is Jesus? And the child responded, I can tell you where he isn't. Where? He's not in the tomb. He doesn't stay still. He's moving in the world today, and we are invited to join in with him. We're invited to know him and to move with him and allow him to raise up our lives. Now back to this story that happened this week with the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. There was a lot of fascination that this building, 800 years old, in which so much world history happened, was in existence and then it burned. But let's not forget the message that inspired the erection of this building 800 years ago is the same message that inspires us today. This message of resurrection, inspired this building, this construction 800 years ago, and it inspires the construction and the forward movement of the church today. And the church is the greatest earthly representative of the presence of the resurrection in the world today. And we are invited to be a part of this movement in the world today, knowing Jesus, being disciples of Jesus, making a difference for Jesus throughout the world, being his witnesses. And Jesus Christ will wake us up. He will help us when we show up. He will certainly help us when we look up. And whatever we're going through, he will raise us up. He gives hope to the hopeless. He brings healing to those who are harmed. He brings forgiveness to those who are bitter. He is Lord. He is Savior. We proclaim his resurrection 1,000 years ago today, and it'll be true 1,000 years all the way into the kingdom of heaven. And Mark says, the kingdom is near. It has come. Repent and believe the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.